More crazy headlines. Well, I'll bet you that before this day's over, I'll put a stop to this newspaper publicity.
Those words of Kay's spell trouble for editor Andy Clayton. And he gets it in today's chapter of Kay Fairchild's Stepmother. Brought to you now by Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder. An April Fool's Day joke on Mother. That's what little Charlie Lewis is about to play. Let's listen.
Charlie, comb your hair and brush your teeth and come to breakfast. I'm just putting it on the table.
Oh, gosh, Mom. I can't brush my teeth. We're out of Colgate tooth powder.
Out of it? But I bought the giant size can just a few weeks ago. Why, that can't be empty.
Well, you like it so much. And Dad likes it so much. And I like it so much. Guess we must have used it all up.
But, Charlie, a big can of Colgate tooth powder lasts a long time. It can't be empty.
Oh, Mom, you don't fool easy, do you? I was just trying to play an April Fool joke on you. Shucks, there's plenty of Colgate tooth powder here. What makes Mother so smart, anyway?
Charlie's right. His mother is smart. Smart to have found that the pleasant flavor of Colgate tooth powder makes such a hit with youngsters that they brush their teeth without coaxing or urging. Smart to be getting triple action for her money. Because Colgate is an all-purpose powder. Wonderful for polishing teeth to their full natural brilliance. Wonderful for sweetening the breath. And safe for gum massage. And even with several grown-ups and youngsters all enjoying the same family-sized can of Colgate tooth powder, this giant can does last a long time. Get one for your family and see for yourself. And now, Colgate tooth powder presents Kay Fairchild's Stepmother. A detective traced Peg to a restaurant in St. Louis. But because he was temporarily confused by the fact that she'd changed the shade of her hair, he didn't take her into custody. As soon as he had left the restaurant, Peg threw down her apron, quit her job as waitress, and made a dash for the back door. Well, the next morning, that detective himself called at the Fairchild home to report to Kay and John. The report, summed up, was simply that Peg had got away from them. Now, John was terribly angry, accused the detectives of being gross bunglers. And Kay became fearful that her husband might be slipping back into the vicious ill humor he displayed last fall. One thing Kay felt she could do about the troubled, unhappy situation was to put a stop to the sensational publicity Peg's story has been getting in Andy Clayton's newspapers, the Morning and Evening Journal. Since the story first broke, Andy has refused to see Kay. But today we find her in the newspaper offices, and a secretary is inquiring,
I'm not sure that Mr. Clayton is in, but who shall I say is calling?
I think you know my name. Tell him it's Mrs. Fairchild.
Oh, well, really, I'm sure he's not in.
Go and see, will you, please?
Well, all right, but I'm sure Mrs. Fairchild... I told her
never mind what you told me, young lady.
See here, what the...
You may go now, miss.
Well, I beg your pardon, why... Well, what's
come
the idea?
On.
Look here, Kay. You can't burst in here
oh,
like this.
Oh, yes, I can. This is proved by the fact that here I am. Now, just sit down, Andy. You lied to me often enough about not being in, and today I decided to see you just the same.
But I'm busy. I've got an edition of the paper to get
out. You're not so busy that you can't take time to talk to me.
Now, look, Kay, there's no use of our getting into an argument. I can't
just
do anything...
Just be quiet and let me talk for a minute, will you? Now, of course, you know why I've come here. Well, do you?
Sure, I know why you've come here. Only I tell you,
I've got... Quiet, Andy. When you get excited, your eyes bulge out and you look quite ridiculous.
Now, look. I beg your pardon.
Andy, I thought you prided yourself on being a good newspaper man.
Well, who says I'm not?
I do. I say that you've been pulling one of the cheapest, yellowest journalistic tricks I ever ran into. You are a good newspaper man at heart, so you know I'm telling the truth.
Well, I've got my circulation to keep up. I know what the people want to read.
If you thought those stories you've been running about Peg were honest, why have you refused to talk to me or Harry Wood?
I know you. You'd talk the legs off of a jackrabbit. I had the best story in the world, and you didn't want me to run it, and you came down here and started feeding me that
lie. I never tried to talk you out of running any honest bit of news, did I, Andy?
Look, Kay, I swear to you, I've got a deadline to meet in 10 minutes.
I'm not interested in your deadlines, Andy.
Well, I am.
Well, you'll make your deadline, because what I have to say won't take long. Now, you know as well as I do, Andy, that 3/4 of this stuff you've been printing about Peg has been nothing more or less than malicious gossip. And I thought you were a friend of mine.
Well, I am a friend of yours.
And yet you print stories like that about my stepdaughter? Just think back over some of those headlines you've run, some of the phrases you've used. Ex-mayor's daughter fugitive from a broken heart. Love runaway traced to St. Anne. Ex-mayor's daughter married, maybe. Inside story of why love fugitive took it on the lam. You call that high-class journalism?
Well, it's the kind of language our readers understand.
The kind of language intended to make a family misfortune into a nasty gutterside scandal. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And if you'd take your conscience off ice for 5 minutes, I'll bet you would be.
The readers are interested in the story, Kay. I've got to give them what they want.
No matter how terribly it hurts someone you call your friend.
I'm sorry, Kay, but I can't let my personal life interfere with my work.
Oh, piffle and nonsense. You've resorted to dirty yellow journalism because it sends your circulation up a few thousand for a few weeks. And I never thought I'd see you stoop to that, Andy.
Oh, doggone it, Kay. Things have been tough lately. I need that extra circulation.
That's not a legitimate excuse for what you've been doing. Come on now and admit it.
Well, maybe I have let my writers play the thing up a little bit too strong.
That so-called gossip column that you have, or the things she's written, are a disgrace to American journalism. You know, Andy Clayton, I still have some friends in the newspaper business myself. And if I made a full report on what you've been doing here in Walnut Grove, I could just about get you tossed out of the press association and out of the newspaper publishers association.
Wait a minute. I haven't done anything as bad as that.
Oh, yes, you have, too. I don't get scared and excited because I'm not threatening you. But I am appealing to your sense of honor and fair play that you've got tucked away somewhere in the bottom drawer of your desk. I want you to cut out all of this stuff, Andy, starting with the edition that you're getting ready for the press.
I haven't really meant any harm, Cave. I didn't know you felt this way.
Well, how did you think I'd feel about it? You didn't suppose that stuff was doing me any good, did you? And as to the harm it's done Peg, well, maybe that can't ever be patched up. Me, your good friend. And you made me the butt of scorn and ridicule. With your sensational stories, you blackened the character of my stepdaughter. Going into print to doubt that she's married. Well, she says she's married, and I believe she is married. And until you get some better information, you've got no right to print anything else.
I'm sorry, Kay.
I hope you feel mean and low, Andy Clayton, because that's just the way you've been behaving. And for a paltry little increase in your circulation. You who came to Walnut Grove with such high ideals. You who used to pride yourself on what you called your journalistic integrity. Andy, would you have done a thing like this 5 years ago?
Well, maybe not. No, I guess I wouldn't have handled the story quite this way 5 years ago.
You are ashamed of yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I guess I am, Kate. But as I say, things have been tough.
Now, don't try trying to ease your conscience by offering those phony excuses. There's only one thing you can do to make up for this, and that's to promise me right here and now that you're going to lay off this story. When you get facts, print them. But print them the way an honest newspaper would print them. Well, do I have your promise?
All right, Kay. I'll lay off. I'm sorry. I really didn't think...
Well, never mind the explanations. I have your promise, and that's all I want. You can go ahead and make your deadline now, Andy.
You're not going to hold this too much against me, are you?
When the real story comes out, it'll be in our favor. You give that the same prominence you've given all these lies, and everything will be forgiven.
All right, Kay. You have my word. But as a newspaper woman, Kay, you've got to admit now that it did boost circulation.
Andy!
All right. You won't have any more trouble from me. Here on out, anything I print about you and Peg will make you look like saints.
And so Kay, by vigorous action, improves her position to the extent of making certain that there won't be any more newspaper scandal. But perhaps she took this step too late. For in another part of town, Miss Whitehead, leading spirit of the Civic Moral Society, is having an excited conference with one Mrs. Beller.
Everything you say, Miss Whitehead, is the blessed truth. Like you say, us decent folks should ought to do something about it.
We decent folks intend to do something about it, Mrs. Feller. But give me a few more of the details about your daughter, Elsie.
Well, just like I say, Elsie's been reading all about this Fairchild girl in the newspaper, and she's been starting to get ideas in her head. She says to me, she says, I think Peg Fairchild was right.
Shocking. Horrible. Just what I've been maintaining all along. If the daughter of an ex-mayor of the city does such unspeakable things, thousands of other poor girls are bound to be poisoned by her example. Oh, I'm glad you told me about this, Mrs. Bella. This is just the kind of ammunition we good folks need.
You know, Elsie's been going around with this fella for 3 months now. He says that he works in a pool room, but I don't believe he has a job there at all. I've been told that he spends half the time around those places down there on 12th Street.
Yes, simply. Mr. Feller, that's beside the point. What we're getting at is that your daughter is too young to marry, and you don't want her to marry. But because of the example set by this Fairchild girl, she's threatening to do something headstrong.
Well, I don't know whether you'd call it headstrong or not. I don't care so much if she actually does marry him. But what she's threatening, as you say,
yes, but that, too, is beside the point. All we wish to prove is that the ex-mayor's daughter has been a bad influence on the youth of this town. So would you be willing to go with me tonight to see Mrs. Fairchild and repeat to her face these accusations you've made to me?
Oh, well, now, Miss Whitehead, I've heard that Mrs. Fairchild is pretty fine-feathered. I ain't much of a hand at talking to people like that.
You go with me, Mrs. Bella. I'll call for you in my car this evening after dinner. Added to a considerable amount of other evidence I've collected, I think your testimony will convince the fine-feathered Mrs. Fairchild that she's outlasted her welcome in Walnut Grove.
A considerable amount of other evidence. Now, what does Miss Whitehead mean by that? Well, presumably we'll find out tomorrow. And if the president of the Civic Moral Society does indeed succeed in bringing Mrs. Beller to see Kay, it ought to make a remarkably interesting scene. Ladies, will Papa look rather gloomy tonight when he comes home and sees all the first of the month bills? Well, then today, how about resolving to get a lot for your money from now on? How about switching to Colgate tooth powder? In Colgate all-purpose tooth powder, you get not just one, not just two. No, you get three radiant results. Triple action, all in one handy package and for one price. You want a safe, gentle polisher to bring out the full natural brilliance of your family's teeth? That's what you get in Colgate tooth powder. You want a quick, pleasant means of sweetening the breath? Colgate's Double Rich Foam does just that. You want a dentifrice that's absolutely safe for gum massage? Well, Colgate tooth powder is. So next time you're passing a drug counter, remember, in just one single can of Colgate tooth powder, your whole family will find three radiant results. Time, listen for dramatic new developments in the story of Kay Fairchild's stepmother, brought to you by the makers of Colgate all-purpose tooth powder. This is Carlton Cadell speaking.
It's April 1st, All Fool's Day, but there's no fooling about this offer. Just listen. If you don't believe that Cashmere Bouquet Cold Cream for Cleansing is the finest you ever used, you can get double your money back. Remember, we'll take your word for it and ask no questions. Just buy a jar of Cashmere Bouquet Cream. Smooth this light, fluffy cream all over your face and neck. Wipe it off. Notice how thoroughly it removes dirt and makeup. Thrill to the glorious freshness it brings to your skin. That glowing, clean, radiant look. Feel how soft and smooth your face is to your touch. But I repeat,
it's for you to check up on these results from Cashmere Bouquet Cream. If you don't get them, why, all you have to do is return the jar cap to Cashmere Bouquet, Jersey City, New Jersey, and we'll send you double your money back, plus the postage. Columbia Broadcasting System.